Timberwolves, can they turn it around tonight? I'm ready for it. I've got the basketball fever, Dan. I was watching last night. And you know how I struggle with the people who've left us. Not the people who've died, but like your...
I'm really wondering where you're going.
Your Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, okay.
You know, used
our
to
old
be
friends.
Our old friends.
Yes.
Paige Beckers.
Yes. Actually, it doesn't seem like you struggle very much criticizing Paige. If you listen to your interview with Carly Knox the other day...
Would you characterize me as criticizing Paige?
Well, I mean, you just... she's dead to you, clearly. I mean, she's not one of us anymore, in your eyes.
You know what the least surprising thing in the history of the world is? That after watching the reception that Paige got, and after reading all of the articles...
You're back on board the Paige bandwagon?
Like, I've softened.
Okay. You're right. That is the least surprising thing in the world.
I mean, you knew.
Yeah.
You knew, yeah. I was going to soften up on, yeah, this. It was really sweet. Like, the people all clapped.
People
for
love
her.
Paige.
I like that she lost. Is that okay?
I mean, it was a relatively close. It was closer than the last time they played, I believe.
Yes.
So
what?
I'm asking, is it it's okay? Is it better because it was close, but we still won?
No, I would be
or
happy.
Or if they would have just drubbed the Wings, you'd be okay with that too?
100%.
Okay. Let's check it.
I do not care. Maybe I should just stop right there.
I was just going to say.
I don't know what it is. I still maintain my belief that this is unique to women's sports. That you would not see, and there's a Lavelle E. Neal column today talking about perhaps Minnesota's the state of basketball, and it mentions the NBA Minnesotan. Can you name him?
Chet Holmgren?
Yeah, very good.
I mean, there's several of them, but I mean, assume that's the
one.
He's
the bigger.
He's the relevant one, given the fact that the Wolves are playing the Thunder, sure.
Right. But, like...
we don't welcome Chet the same way we welcome Paige, is what you're saying.
Hell no. Now, Chet was no Paige, right? Like, when you're looking at kind of record setting, this sort of stuff. But he didn't win the national championship, did he, when he was in college?
At Gonzaga?
I don't think so.
I'd have to check.
Just Paige is at a different level, and also, I don't think you'd do this with a guy. You wouldn't. When Chet comes back, are people going to go nuts when he walks on the floor? But it's not his first game.
I was going to say, if it was the first time that he played here, I mean, he got quite a reaction. And it's the playoffs, too. That's a different level, right?
Yeah, like, I'm not cheering for him.
Right. I'm not sure anybody's cheering for Paige if it's a playoff game, right?
I hope not. Let that be my challenge to the Lynx fans and the people pretending to be Lynx fans. Which the Stars do not appear to be likely to be a playoff
team. No, I don't think Dallas is making the playoffs this year.
But if they do, we're not cheering for Paige.
No.
We're not cheering for when she gets introduced. But I'm okay with the positive reception. I'm not saying we need to boo these people.
I mean, it kind of felt a little bit that way the other day.
I just say we don't need to give them the key to the freaking city.
It was Hopkins renaming itself.
It was Hopkins. That's
Paige
Hopkins.
That's what really got you. If that hadn't happened, the reception to Paige would not have bothered you nearly as much.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Now, Jalen Suggs. That's another...
Sure. Yeah, that was the other one I was thinking of.
Yeah. Did people go nuts for Jalen?
I don't recall that happening necessarily.
Did St. Paul change its name?
I'm pretty sure it didn't, no.
St. Jalen?
Nope. That didn't happen.
I just think it's unique to women's sports. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong.
It happens.
The people are not with me on this.
Yeah.
Although there's a silent group.
You like to think so.
Women don't get a whole lot of things that men get, says a texter.
That's true.
As was evidenced by the disparities in the Final Four, so perhaps some home attention can help level the playing field? I mean, I don't know. Does this help anybody? Maybe. What I did like about the reaction at Target Center last night is that it just was very Minnesotan and yes. very nice.
Yes.
It is nice.
It is very Minnesotan.
And we are like, yeah, if you grew up here.
If you're one of us, we love you.
Yeah, and if you grew up here and you are excelling in mm-hmm. something, I do cheer for you quietly without changing the name of my city to you. That's just me. That's how I do it. I'm not saying it's the way, but
it is a way.
It's a way. Paige didn't choose not to play for Minnesota. She was drafted.
Well, she did choose not to play for the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
That was well within her purview.
How about that? Where's that for you Paige lovers?
But she didn't choose not to play for the Lynx.
Yeah. So, like, that's the cat thing. Like, if you have, like, I have no ill will towards Carl Anthony Towns. He was traded away.
Right.
But now that he's gone, I'm not naming, you know, a roundabout after him.
That still takes me back to the mind of A.J. Pierzynski, who didn't choose to be traded away from the Twins. But, boy, as soon as he was, the fan base here turned on him in a heartbeat.
Right.
Booed the bejabbers out of him every time he came back. And I don't know why. I still to this day don't know why, other than, you know, he was kind of a Richard at times. But when he was our Richard, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as he wasn't it's interesting. Ours anymore, it yeah. was, you know, you're dead to us.
And that's why I'm asserting that this is somewhat unique to women's sports.
Mm.
And maybe it's because the women's sports fan base is, generally speaking, nicer than the men's sports fan base.
Boy, tell that to Angel Reese right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she'd agree.
Hmm. Well, but is that the real fan base, or is that just like the people who are kind of jumping in? I don't know.
Kind of seems like the Indiana fan base.
Do you think, so when you look at the Angel Reese situation.
Yeah.
And this appears to be a real war, a real rivalry. You've got Team Angel and you've got Team Caitlin. And it, by the looks of things, now you can never tell with Caitlin Clark, but I don't think these two, it doesn't take a genius to say these two hate each other.
I honestly wonder about that. I don't know. They're certainly not sharing Christmas dinner anytime soon.
I don't know
if they hate each other.
I love it if they hate each other.
I think that's more of a media narrative. I hate using that term, but I mean that's.
You look at her reaction after that foul.
We want the rivalry. We want, you know, to be some real skin in the game here.
I think
between these two, and I don't know that they. I mean, I don't know if they like each other, but I don't know if it's actually risen to the level of hatred.
No.
I think we want to play that up. I don't think the trouble is that. Angel, not, and this doesn't take anything away from Angel, but this isn't, you know, Bird and Magic.
No,
we're not talking about two
right.
players on the same level talent-wise.
Right.
Angel's a very good player, but she's not anywhere near Caitlin. Yeah. So, you know, we're trying to build a rivalry just because I don't know that, you know,
I think they're delivering the rivalry, though,
they're delivering
it
to a degree. I just don't think the WNBA has had that kind of player versus player type rivalry, at least not in the public eye, the way that, you know, you've seen it in other
sports. I think it's good.
It can be good. I think, you know, the fact that there's still
the racial
element
is
problematic. And that needs to go away immediately.
And this is America, right? Like, that's the reality. Like,
it is the reality, right? I mean, we had the couple of, you know, ding-dongs thrown out of the Target Center for, you know, shouting racial epithets at Draymond Green during that last round of the playoffs. So it happens all over the place, but it should be pointed at, called out, and thrown out.
I just think a lot of the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, the most obnoxious fans on that are sort of like not actual. Like they're
trolling.
They're just part of like the internet and the social media world sort of creates these like moments that every rando feels like they should chime in on.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a lot of what that is. Like I find it hard to generalize too much about the fan base. But it is true that as the WNBA grows, to get beyond the initial fan base, part of that is you do get some of the bobos that come with, that you have with the NFL, that you have with any other
sport. Baseball has it. Football has it. The NBA has it. It's all over the place.
legislating in secret. Is there a deal? Where are we at? Who knows? Why I think we need radical reform to the way we do business in the Minnesota legislature. This affects all of us, and we don't know what the hell is happening. We'll talk about it in just a minute on Drive Time. Star Tribune reporter got kicked out of a meeting yesterday because this is how we do business in Minnesota. Every year, well, every 2 years at least, it's the same. $66 billion of your money. They're figuring out, all right, here's how we're going to do it. And they have hearings. They have meetings. And then they adjourn, go behind closed doors, work it all out, bring a giant bill that's 1,000 pages long, slap it down on legislators' desks. None of us get to see it. They have to vote up or down. And then at the end, we're trying to make sense out of it. It is idiotic. It's idiotic. We're talking about your health care. We're talking about paid family leave. We're talking about fixing roads. We're talking about sewers and infrastructure and cuts to hunger relief and cuts to education, cuts to state medical care. How do any of us know what is happening? We don't. We don't. The DFL leader, Melissa Hortman, said that this is how it has to be, that private discussions are necessary. This is what she told reporters earlier this week. And I this is what drives me nuts. Private discussions are necessary to navigate touchy subjects. Her quote: you need people to be able to say what's their bottom line and to make their emotional pitch and to say where their caucus is and see where the votes are. And people really have to show their cards. So that is a space that has not ever and probably will not ever be transparent. This is what we're doing here. I do think this big, beautiful bill style of governing is an absolute failure for you and me. So we testify on stuff. You get to hear what's going on. You get to see proposals. Some of them make a little noise. Sometimes they show up in the paper. Sometimes we talk about it here. But for the most part, if you are interested in any of these issues, if they affect your life, you find out with everybody else the day after it gets passed. These bills are, frankly, the state of Minnesota has, there is a restriction against having these bills that have everything in it. You're supposed to have a bill that has one subject, but because we cannot pass anything ever, what we do is it all gets thrown into the budget. And I do believe there was a lawsuit challenging the last budget because of this issue. I don't know whatever happened to that. I assume it's still pending.
It's probably still working its way through the system.
Probably the judicial system is still reading the bill.
Where I'll push back a little bit is we have lost something in the sense of when we don't have the backroom deals and the smoke-filled rooms and the negotiating thing going on, when everything is debated out in public, then it becomes totally performative. And that's how we get to this point where you have people that will not move an inch on anything and nothing gets done. Right? Because
yes,
if you make a deal, then suddenly you sold out your side and you get primary and that sort of thing. But that works in the sense when you're getting stuff done during session.
Yeah.
So that when the deal gets cut, now it still has to go through a committee where that's where you get the public hearing and people get a chance to vet it and figure out what's going on. When the deal making behind the scenes gets done in this intersession period before right. we have a special session, There isn't any public community hearing anymore. It's just we get the deal done and then we come back, vote on it, and off we go. That's where we've lost any kind of public input or any kind of public transparency whatsoever. I don't mind backroom deals getting cut.
No, I don't mind it either.
During the session.
Yeah.
When then it still has to go through a committee process.
Well, that's where I disagree with Melissa Hortman that, yes, you can have private conversations where you show your cards. I understand that. You're not going to sit in a committee hearing and say, like, well, we're willing to bend on this. Unfortunately, we don't have that because as voters, we just destroy people who would compromise.
Exactly.
So I do understand that. I just don't think it should be allowed to be this way. And if you have a working group, I do think a reporter should be able to go in it. There are laws about quorum and that sort of thing. And obviously, you're not hitting a full quorum of a committee when you're having this working group meeting. But the whole thing is done to intentionally keep it out of public eye.
Yes.
And I don't see how we can accept that. If we were passing other bills, if we were doing policy through other processes, then fine. Work out the budget and whatever. But we don't do jack. We wait until the end. And then it's all done out of public eye. I just don't know how anybody could be okay with this. And then what happens is what we saw when there was the trifecta in power. And even in that situation, well, the last budget, you think about the last budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were all sorts of things that showed up in some of these hundreds of pages bill. And afterwards, you're like, oh, no. Like, for example, you may have heard about the bill that was passed that limits the amount of lead and cadmium allowed in jewelry and toys and other stuff in the house. And you're like, that sounds good. Like, I don't want lead and
seems reasonable
stuff.
Sure.
Anybody have a key on their key ring?
Maybe. That might be a problem, you're saying?
The 2023 400-page bill outlaws the vast majority of key sales.
Whoops.
So this is the kind of stuff that would come up if you actually legislated through a normal process. We have no idea what our legislators are doing. We just don't. And they will argue that, like, well, we have hearings on some of these things during No.
And the really problematic part of it is that many of them don't have an idea of what's going on, right? Mm. If they're not involved in these backroom deals, because then the omnibus bill that comes out is so long, nobody's going to be able to sit there and read through the whole thing. We heard that with the Big Beautiful Bill. There was plenty of members of the House. They're like, there's no way we're going to be able to read this whole thing, you know, depending on what you change when you change it. I mean, so we're just going to have to take your word for it that this is the right bill to pass.
It's the staffers and the bureaucrats who know what's in it, and that's it.
That's how we get to the, you know, that famous Nancy Pelosi line of, oh, well, we got to pass it so we can see what's actually
see
in,
what's
it.
In it.
Well, it's just, what?
Not good.
No.
I don't know. It's just frustrating, and I don't buy the whole, like, well, it's the Democrats' fault because they were futzing around at the start of the... It always is like this. Whatever the deadline is, that's when they get down to business.
The kerfuffle at the beginning of the session, and that's on both of them, by the way, all of that makes us look worse, yes.
It looks worse, but
your
I think
point
it
is
makes
right on.
No difference.
We get the same thing regardless. This comes back to being on us. I'll keep saying this. This comes back to being on the voters. Because if we keep sending the same people to the legislature, guess what we're going to get? The same blinking results.
Let's break. It's 4:30. We're going to do DeRussia Eats with a young woman who had huge success on food reality TV, about to open another bakery sweet shop at Mall of America. Started with mackerel. Macaroon? Do you say macaroon or macaron?
Pretty sure I say macaroon.
All right. Well, we'll find out what the right way to do it is with Maddie Carlos. Maddie Lou with us in just a minute. DeRussia Eats. It's getting sweet in here on this Thursday. It's brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Certix Liquor and Cheese Shop. Our guest started, it's been about a decade or so.
It has, yes.
Macaroons. Made her famous locally, but it was Food TV that helped Maddie Lou Schmitz, a breakthrough on the national stage. She has three kind of cookie sweet bakery shops throughout Minnesota, in Duluth, in Coon Rapids, and at Mall of America, and she's with us in studio today. Maddie, so good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I mean, you're already on my positive list because you brought this beautiful package of macaroons, and we said you were going to settle it for us. Is it macaroon or macaron?
I say macaroon, but people say macaron. People also call them the Pretty Patties from SpongeBob. So whatever you want to call them, they still taste the same.
You are definitely giving me a little bit of Ham Lake there in your accent when you say macaroon.
Yeah.
That is right. You're from the North Metro.
Yep.
How did you end up on food TV?
So I opened my first bakery with my mom in 2015. And
how old were you?
I was 20, just freshly 20. And
were you 20 and flush with unreasonable confidence, or were you 20 and like scared out of your mind?
20 and scared out of my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't exactly know what I was doing, but you got to wing it, right? And I got contacted by a casting producer in my Instagram messages for a show on the Food Network. And I thought it was a total scam joke at first because I didn't realize that's kind of how they found their people. And turns out it was real. And that's what kind of started my food TV scene.
The Instagram is Something Sweet Cakes.
Something Sweet Cakes. Yep. Yeah. And then we just rebooted our old one, Macaroons by Maddie Lou, for the Mall of America location.
Mall of America. You've been there before, but you have a new location in the mall, right?
Yes. We just opened last week our new location, third floor west, right next to Nordstrom Rack. We were there from 2016 to 2021. Our lease was up and we just decided to not re-sign at the time. But we got a good opportunity this time around and we ran with it. And so far, so good.
This shop is called Macaroons by Maddie Lou.
Correct.
And what's it like being at Mall of America? I mean, for you, did you grow up here in Minnesota?
I did, yeah, but on the north end of town. So didn't make my way down to the south end very often, but did go to the mall here and there. It's really different being in the mall. Obviously, there's a lot of hoops and things to jump through.
Just trying to get your stuff in there.
Exactly.
Get your staff out there and
exactly.
all that.
Yep. And even just to open a business there, it's far from easy.
Because you have to get, what, all the approvals or what makes it hard?
Yep, all the approvals. The mall knows what they're looking for, too. They're not just going to pick anyone or let anybody come into the mall. They kind of have a vision, and it seems like they kind of already know what they're looking for before things are presented to them.
And you, at that location, have added in, and I know a lot about this because I live in Maple Grove, where the dirty soda trend has gone bananas. You guys have dirty sodas at the mall location too?
We do, yes.
Tell everyone what, I don't know how many fans of the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, because I think that's part of how this trend became nationally famous, right?
Yes. So I can't say that I have seen any of those episodes, but I did hear about it and heard about the location in Maple Grove as well. I went there. They were fantastic. I heard about the trend through the TV show and through the TikToks as well. And we just thought it would be super awesome to incorporate that into our business. And no one else in the Mall of America is doing them right now. So we were the first.
That, I think it's called, is it Sota Soda or something like that? Whatever the Maple Grove Dirty Soda.
Yeah. Is it Sodalicious or Soda? I don't know. Something.
I think it's just Sota.
Sota.
Okay. S-O-T-A.
Yeah.
Sota.
Well, they're fantastic as well. So.
Yeah. It's kind of a crazy trend. Like people line up like crazy for it. And it's soda with cream in it, right?
And different flavorings, fruit purees, lime juice. All different kinds of flavors. Yeah. I mean, it's a fairly simple concept, but people are loving it.
When did you get interested in baking?
Gosh, it wasn't really until my senior year of high school, 2012, that I started really jumping into the baking scene. It wasn't a passion of mine growing up. I've always been artistic and liked doing pottery, painting, etc. But baking just wasn't something that was always on my radar. And I started baking just for friends and family in my parents' kitchen and went to the University of Minnesota Duluth first semester out of high school. And it was not for me. I needed to do something more hands-on. And just out of the blue, decided to tour Le Cordon Bleu and fell in love with it. And that's kind of where my journey started.
What would you look at kind of macarons, which became really, I don't know if it was the mall that... had you first going crazy with these, or was it your location in Coon Rapids?
The Coon Rapids location. So when we first opened in 2015, that was one of the products that we did have right off the bat. And they're very hard to make. You can't really make them when it's raining, when it's humid. The process is extremely detailed and persnickety. So being that we had a recipe that we loved, that worked out, we launched them right away when we opened the business, and people just fell in love with them.
And macaroons are like, it's like a little cookie sandwich, but
right.
The cookie is like, I don't know, you describe it for people.
It's a little bit crunchy on the outside, soft in the inside. All the shells, despite their colors, taste the same. The fillings are what brings the flavor out in each cookie. They're made with almond flour, so most are naturally gluten-free. Though we do add some gluten to a few of our flavors, such as s'mores and Oreo, just to, you know, get the flavors that we need to come out. But, yeah, they're just a delicate, fancy little cookie.
Just a fancy little cookie,
yeah.
Yeah. Maddie Lou Schmitz is with us. Something Sweet by Maddie Lou. Macaroons by Maddie Lou at Mall of America. For you as a young woman, now a business owner with three locations, what's been the thing that you didn't know about yourself that you've learned over these 10 years?
I've always been a go-getter, but when your entire life is on the line with your business, you know, myself and my mom, Lori, we've poured everything that we've absolutely had into this. Like, it really takes the never giving up saying to a whole new level. Like, we don't have an option. We don't have a choice but to keep pushing through, figuring out what works, figuring out what doesn't. 10 years later, we're still learning every single day. And I think that's the biggest thing is to just, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, you can't give up.
Maddie Schmitz is with us. It's hard though, isn't it? What's it is like the costing? Is it the staffing? Is it what's the hardest thing?
Well, both of those things,
yeah.
For sure. We have a fantastic crew right now. I'd say probably the best we've had in the 10 years we've been open, and I'm very, very thankful for that. So staffing right now is not an issue. Granted, we have had many issues in the past with that, but I'm thankful for
what
where
mean,
we are
what
now.
What do you mean?
Oh, gosh, just the younger generation.
How old are you?
Okay,
30?
I'm 30, yes. So, yeah, I get it. But, like, even younger than me, and they're
you can
the
call
teens.
Out,
and
you can call out your own generation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the teens, early 20s, maybe even into their early 30s, they're just different. I don't know. I grew up with parents who worked their butts off 24/7, and mm-hmm. that's just the quality that I have as well. And so they're just different. They don't work the same.
No, I mean, I have a 17-year-old, and he would say the same thing about like his classmates.
Yeah.
That they just didn't have to work.
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
He works at a restaurant, so, you know.
Yeah, he knows then.
He understands.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't show up, somebody
as long as
else
he's,
has to
as long
it.
As he's the one that's on the working side.
Yeah, that's right. He better be.
He better be, yeah.
I would hear about it for sure. Let's take a break. It's 4:46. Darusha Eats. Maddie Schmitz is our guest. Something Sweet by Maddie Lou. You can visit her website. It is somethingsweetcakes.com. When we come back, I want to ask you about the bakery scene in Minnesota, because I think we have a world-class bakery scene here right now. We'll talk about some of your favorites, places you like to go as well. Darusha Eats brought to you... I'm just going to devour these cookies. This is just torture looking at these. It's brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Certix. Back in just a minute. Maddie Schmitz is with us. We were making all the controversial conversation during the break because you sell cupcakes. You do custom cakes, too.
We do, yep.
Hottest thing at weddings right now is?
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
Yeah. Cupcakes and dessert bars, but usually the dessert bars include cupcakes, so... They're still up there with the most popular item.
Why do you think cupcakes are so hot for weddings?
I think it's the convenience factor. I think when it comes down to having to cut a massive cake for 150, 200 people, it just takes that stress off of whoever's doing it. And they're just kind of grab and go type desserts.
Do you think it's a cute factor too? I mean, cupcakes are cute. It's so cute. It's going to be real good on the Snapchat and the TikTok.
Yeah, they can be bite-sized if you get the minis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just give me a slice of cake, man. Yeah. Like, cupcakes don't do it for me. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you. A traditional slice of cake, you can't beat it.
But what do you care? You're like, if the people want cupcakes, you're going to make them cupcakes.
Cupcakes are a heck of a lot easier to make than a 5-tier wedding cake covered in fondant. So I'll take it.
Would you go back on Food Network on a food competitive cooking show again?
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's been some highs. There's been some lows. There's some casting companies you want to work with. Some you don't. I've learned a lot.
The network just carries the show. It's not always.
Yeah. Different casting companies pick up different shows. And so the network doesn't really have anything to do with it. It just who wants to pick up what show. But yeah, I would totally do it again.
Did that change your life, you think?
I think it changed maybe not my life personally, but my life as a business owner. I think it really helped put us on the map.
It gives a different kind of credibility.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's your dream? What's your dream going forward? You're in Duluth, you're in Coon Rapids, you're getting through it. Things are going good, but like if you were to paint your dream, what would it be?
You know, if you would have asked me this 10 years ago, this was my dream. So I am now pregnant with my second child, ready to continue building my family. And I guess where I'm at now with the business is I'm just going to see where it continues to take us. If opportunities come up that we feel we can handle or we want to take on, then so be it. But yeah, we're just going to keep pushing along. And I don't know. I feel like I'm in my dream right now. I don't really know what else I would do if I didn't do this.
I love that. I love it. Yeah. I love it. We always ask people their three favorites, but I only left you like 45 seconds.
I can go fast.
Give it to me fast.
Okay. Serums and Anoka wings. Best bone-in, best boneless wings. My favorite of all time. Hockey Mom Brownies food truck.
Oh,
you cannot go wrong
so
with
good.
Them. Andrew and his mom, they're great. And Toby's in Hinckley. If you're making your way up north this weekend, stop by Toby's and get a cinnamon roll. They're to die for.
Excellent. You nailed it. You nailed it. You could tell a TV pro right here. Maddie Schmitz is her name. Go see her in Coon Rapids. Something Sweet by Maddie Lou. Or in Duluth. Where are you in Duluth?
Miller Hill Mall, right outside of the food court.
And now back again at Mall of America.
Yep.
Good stuff. I always think being at the mall, it's like sort of big time, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's not
easy. The freaking Mall of America.
Yeah.
Come on. It's right in the title. Thanks, Maddie. CBS News coming up. Local news, too. D-Rush Hour News headlines. Lots to come in Hour 3 here on CCO.